Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen.
Good morning, queens. We have Laura Gray in studio from Drug Free Sport. Laura Gray is the Senior Director of Education. She's a board-certified sports dietitian, specializing in educational programming for athletes on supplemental safety, sports nutrition, athlete-focused recipes, and drug and alcohol deterrence. A former collegiate sports dietitian at Colorado State University, Laura's interactions with student athletes and collaborative work with athletic training and coaching staff introduced many of the challenges associated with promoting whole foods over dietary supplements. Drug-free sports involvement in sport drug testing keeps her on the forefront of ongoing concerns related to dietary supplement use and the lack of awareness for food-first solutions in sport, as well as issues related to performance-enhancing drug and substances abuse. Laura manages communications with athletes, parents, and coaches where perceptions of acceptable supplement use and needed education on supplement safety and sports nutrition solutions overlap. Laura is a highly requested speaker and implements a team-behind-the-team strategy of holistic cooperation among athletic administrators to place athletes in the best positions for success. Welcome, Laura. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. That was quite for coming in. Everyone's like, it's so weird to hear your bio back. But it's very impressive.
Yeah, you should be proud of it, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, and hence why we're having you here, because our paths have crossed numerous times being a sports dietitian in the collegiate sector, and you're nothing but gracious to give out resources and team up together. So,
mm-hmm. And you're Absolutely. Based here in Kansas City, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Drug Free Sport has offices. Right here, very close to the studio.
Actually, so convenient.
Well, can you kind of start with giving us a little background about Drug Free Sport, how it came about, and why you specifically desired to work for the organization?
Yeah, so Drug Free Sport is an independent third-party administrator of sport drug testing programs and education. So essentially what that means is they run drug testing for athletes in a variety of sport organizations. Probably the most known ones are the NCAA, the NFL, minor league baseball program, the NBA, WNBA. We're in the PGA Tour, LPGA. So a lot of different clients, as well as numerous, over hundreds of universities and colleges nationwide that put in their own institutional drug testing program that might be separate from the NCAA or NAIA programs they might be part of in the collegiate sector. But they complement the sport drug testing aspect side with education, and that's where my role really fits in. And back before I got hired, they were starting education programming, but they didn't have a sports dietitian on staff. They were doing education programs out in the field, but a lot of the feedback they were getting is, great, you're kind of telling us what not to do, but not what we can do instead. Mm-hmm. And so they really kind of went back to the drawing board, and they decided we probably need to get somebody in here that can offer some valuable solutions to, if they're not going to use supplements, what are they going to be doing? Mm-hmm. And so the position posted, and I was working at Colorado State at the time. And really, I've had a background in education. My dad has taught for my entire life. He's an administrator overseas now, but I don't know if it's in my blood or not, but I really liked that aspect of it, and blending it with my sports nutrition background. It was unfortunate because I was living in Colorado at the time that I had to move to Kansas City, but since then we really love Kansas City. But it really was a great career move for me, just because it blended the two things that I really enjoyed and were pushing for in my own career. I miss the athlete-centered approach for, you know, being at the ground level, but I really found it exciting to also get to this higher level where I can impact more people potentially with different resources. Still the athlete, but really also, as you kind of said in the bio, the team behind the team is so important because those are the folks that are interacting with the athlete on a daily basis. And there's still so much education that needs to go into the athletic trainer, the strength and conditioning coach, the coach, you know, the team physician, everybody that has an input on athlete care. And so I think that's just a really cool aspect of the job.
What does kind of that education look like? Are you working typically with the whole team, the coaches, the athletes themselves, or what does, yeah, that education look like?
It depends. So our primary education resource is what we call Drug-Free Sport Access. And it's really this central location where anybody who is a subscribing organization, for instance, the NCAA has been a subscribing organization since the get-go. And so anybody that's associated with an NCAA school, it could be the trainer, the coach, the parent, an administrator, they can log in and see a variety of resources that we have available. And so right now that could be, we've got a number of sports nutrition handouts on there. They can actually find a sports dietitian in their area if they don't connect with one currently, which is kind of neat. They can ask about dietary supplements. That's our probably our primary feature, really. People go on there and, you know, let's say they're looking at a particular protein powder or a pre-workout, they'll type it in, it'll get sent to us, and we'll review the label, the ingredients in there. We'll do a little research on the manufacturer, see if they've had other products that might have been recalled by the FDA or just something a little bit fishy, and then send them back what we call a risk level rating. So it's never a yes or a no. It's really to help the athlete make an informed decision about the supplement to say, hey, this is the information we know. It's well-researched. We haven't tested the product, but, you know, and there are third-party certification organizations, thankfully, for that as well. But this is what we know, and this is hopefully to help you make a decision that's not going to put your eligibility at risk. Yeah. They can do the same thing with medications, although it's a little bit more immediate. They can look up if their medication is on the banned list or not. We have mental health resources on there, some body image resources. So really a lot of things, especially for smaller schools that don't have a complete team behind the team. They might be missing. They might be missing the dietitian. They might be missing the sports psychologist, or they have an athletic trainer that's trying to wear so many hats. They're already stretched thin. They can go to this one spot and say, hey, my athletes need help with, you know, pre-workout snack ideas. They go to the sports nutrition tab, download some information, print it out, and give it out for them.
Yeah, because you guys have little videos too now that you're doing, which they love that.
But also, I mean, like you were saying, that's the primary one. We also go out and talk on campus a lot. And so, and when we do that, we're pretty adamant about not just educating the athletes, but having a separate staff session as well. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, the staff see that opportunity as a night off. And well, everybody needs that balance of life. But if they're not getting the same message as the athletes, there's no continuity of the messaging, right? Then the athletes come back, oh, yeah, how was the session last night? Yeah, you know, they talked about this, and then the coach is like, oh, okay. You know, there's nothing that's really solidifying some of that messaging. And so you want to make sure that it's sustainable from an education standpoint.
Right. Well, everybody around that team is looking for that competitive advantage. So supplements are always a quick, easy fix that they can go to. And coaches sometimes are the ones that are first to push it on their athletes.
Definitely.
So, yeah, that education coming from all sides.
And I love that, that you can hear that teacher in you where it's not yes or no, but empowering them with informed decisions. I mean, I had a client last week. She's not a college athlete, but she just wanted to pre-workout, went into, I won't say the store, and got it, but had a reaction, ended up in the emergency room. Well, lo and behold, it counteracted with one of her medications, had a listing of six stimulants that were on there that she wasn't aware of. And it was about a week of her getting back to normal. I mean, it scared her.
And the scary thing is that those are the six stimulants listed on the label, but they actually might not even be in there. They could be other synthetic stimulants that haven't been tested mm-hmm. in humans, and you don't know that until you test the product, right? And right. so that's really the scary thing about how, you know, the lack of oversight really challenges our health. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of goes into our next question. Can you tell us a little bit about the current trends you're seeing specifically with female athlete and drug use, even kind of including the over-the-counter stuff too?
Yeah. You know, like anything, it's cyclical. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I'd say that we tend to see more of our female dominated sports asking about weight loss thermogenic supplements mm-hmm. right around the new year's resolutions. Everybody wants to lose weight.
Even athletes aren't mm-hmm. immune.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also right before summer, so it's kind of a twofold switch for a lot of folks. And you know, just as I take a step back and I take myself out of like my professional realm of reviewing the supplements, you know, it's really alarming because you know, you just see the impact of body image and people wanting to make changes, or they're just so unhappy with or think they need to change, and this is going to be the quick fix. Mm-hmm. And it's really just an unfortunate reality. The biggest things I think we see are herbal, you know, remedies. So
it's natural,
right? Yeah. And if I can lose weight that way, it's going to be way healthier. Mm-hmm. You know, so even things still like Garcinia Cambogia that, you know, became popular with Dr. Oz and mm-hmm. are in print magazines.
Did you really just say his name?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, but it is the influence is everywhere because yes. then it gets picked up by multimedia outlets uh-huh. and it ends up in print magazines. It's on social media. It's everywhere. And mm-hmm. Really social media ad campaigns can really target athletes as they start to look at different things. Mm-hmm. And so they start to see these weight loss products come up on their feed. Mm-hmm. And that can be a real trigger as well. Yeah. So, and the problem with these herbal recommendations or the herbal products, remedies, whatever you want to call them, is a lot of times they haven't been tested again in humans. And then the research we have on the herbal ingredients, sometimes we see that it's been tested and shown to be extremely toxic to the liver and the kidneys. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be just cause organ failure. It can have different reactions with medications, mm-hmm. like your client you were mentioning. And so it's really kind of an alarming mm-hmm. aspect that people don't think about when they think about it being natural, mm-hmm. right? And how can it be unsafe if it's available for sale on the store shelves? But it's the unfortunate reality of just what is the supplement industry right now.
Mm-hmm. Billions and billions and growing.
Yeah, I think that's so crazy to think of just our trust in an industry when you say like it hasn't even been tested on humans and like me taking something.
Yeah.
But you just trust that it has, obviously, that they've done their job and it should be safe to take because mm-hmm. it's available, and that's not the case.
And if you look mm-hmm. at, you know, the marketing on some of these products and they say clinically tested or researched. Mm-hmm. If you actually look at the research, most often it's all research that's done in rats. Mm-hmm. So none of it's human tested. And they're just saying in rats, sure, in obese rats, it showed this amount of weight loss. You're like, that's great, but that's a rat model. That's not actually a human model, but they're trying to translate that. Mm-hmm. You see that a lot with testosterone boosting products too, you know, that tend to are not for females necessarily, but they do come across even from our, you know, 18 to 22 year old athletes, which is alarming.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, I saw something not too long ago that stunned me, that the most growing group of steroid users is middle school aged girls, women?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or something. Yeah, we're starting to see that more in those strength-related sports. So they're using it to get mm-hmm. more muscle mass. Yeah. So, I mean, mm-hmm. that's one that nobody would even think to look at.
Mm-hmm. And it's important that when we think about, like, anabolics, it's really not an injection so much anymore. It really is appearing more in these anabolic androgenic supplements mm-hmm. that are on the market mm-hmm. that have, you know, really these substances in them. And I think a lot of people are taking them unbeknownst to themselves and just think it is a natural product, but it might be adulterated with those items that are technically illegal in the U.S., but that's how they kind of work their way in.
Mm-hmm. What could be some harms to a female athlete using supplement other than, you know, failing their drug test?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, within our industry, that's the biggest thing people are worried about when they send supplements in to Access is, will I pass a drug test if I take this? But there's so much more to think about with health. You know, there's contamination issues all the time. It could be because the machines aren't properly cleaned between different runs. And so you can get banned substances that end up in a product that comes across as natural. You look at the listed ingredients, nothing looks like it would be banned. But because of where it was manufactured, those anabolic substances or stimulants, for example, could end up in that product and cause an issue with the drug test. But again, talking about the herbals, these synthetic stimulants that are showing up all of the time, interactions with medications that they're taking, you know, I think these are really things that we need to be paying attention to and discussing like we are today, which is which is great, because a lot of times consumers just have no idea what's going into their bodies. Things they might not even think about are pesticides, herbicides, heavy metals that are often in the raw materials that are in supplements. I mean, if you don't go to a grocery store and you're like, please add extra pesticides to the apples I'm putting into my basket, right? But unfortunately, that's something we don't think about with supplements, but it happens all the time. And if you think about how often some athletes are going to be using supplements, it could be daily, it could be twice a day, three times a day, that really adds an accumulation of these toxic substances in the body, which can cause long-term health issues, cancer, you know, just a lot of issues down the line, which, again, it's kind of, they're blind to that.
And I wish we could get our younger athletes to move to energy drinks being considered a supplement, because they just like, oh, it's like a beverage like everything else, but they have no idea that it's a liquid supplement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dangerous one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a mix of caffeine and herbal ingredients that have an additive effect in the body. A lot of the herbs that get added in supplements or drinks that have caffeine have an additive effect. So they actually increase the stimulant effects in the body.
Ah, and so I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's kind of a complementary effect, which in some cases you'd think would be good, but in the case of caffeine and extra stimulants, that increases the risk of heart arrhythmias, you know, just other kind of health issues that go into that. So if you've got a kid that has a medical history with heart issues, they might not even know, and then they overdo it. I mean, that's a real problem.
My parents don't even know that information, right?
Well, I didn't know that.
Exercising and heat, you know, all of that can exacerbate the issue, and that's what we don't think about necessarily.
Are you seeing more now with the legalization of marijuana, like even just cannabis oil for anxiety, and that's really kind of muddied waters with supplement use now?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Is that a whole nother podcast?
It could be. It could be. Yeah. We get asked to talk about marijuana all the time. And CBD oil, the cannabidiol, is definitely being targeted to athletes right now. And you see that a lot in companies that are specializing in athlete targeted therapies with CBD, you know, or marketing ads that go out to them. There's, you know, roll on bars, there's creams, there's drinks, there's oils, as we know. And yeah, I think right now the risk for athletes is that the FDA actually did a few studies, 2015, 2016. And they took CBD products off retail shelves and online stores and tested them for the different cannabinoids that were present. And they couldn't find one that was 100% CBD. So in fact, a lot of them had other cannabinoids, including THC, that could cause an issue, because THC is on the prohibited substances list for most athletes. And that contamination can cause a real issue when accumulated in the body. So I think that's the biggest risk right now. We're talking about a completely unregulated industry as well. So it's very similar to supplements in that regard, because there's no specific testing measures for them, for any retailer or manufacturer of the CBD products to follow to ensure purity. They can call me and tell me how pure and all of the safety and quality measures they do. That's great, but I don't necessarily want to hear it from the horse's mouth. I want to actually be able to test it be sure myself. And so that should be what athletes want too, is you can't trust everything you read or that the retailer is saying or manufacturer is saying. You really need to dive in a little bit deeper for a lot of these products.
Sure.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of education, you have a summit coming up, which I'm super excited about. You've got some great topics and speakers that are going to be in town. Tell us a little bit more about the summit coming up.
Yeah, I'm super excited. We need to get some butts and chairs. But
well,
the content,
our butts will be in the chairs. If you listen to our podcast, Kara got her butt back.
Yeah, I'll be there sitting hands
awesome.
Up. Questions. I don't know if you need more than me and Becca.
No, it's great. The content is going to be so awesome. I'm so excited. This is the second year we've done it, and it really was born out of a lot of the interactions that we had on campus and the whole team behind the team approach. We found that a lot of organizations, athletic organizations, kind of live in their silos. So you have all these different people working with the athlete, but outside of the athlete, they're not really communicating. And so the continuity of care is really missing. And it can really cause harm if there's a lack of trust or respect of each other's discipline and how that impacts athlete performance, because it can become competitive. You might think that another discipline is trying to take over your role and then you're on the outs or anything like that. But collectively, there are programs that have found ways to work really well together. And so we wanted to create an event that really brought all of the disciplines together. The team physician, the athletic trainer, the sports dietitian, psychology, strength and conditioning, administration, compliance, you know, anybody that has an impact on athlete performance, athlete wellness, health care, needs to be involved. And we also wanted to highlight kind of some of the tough topics that aren't really discussed. So this year, as an example, we're talking about marijuana. That's a really hot topic. That's a repeat topic. We did that in 2016 as well. And so we actually have one of our speakers coming back to do an update, because they talk a lot about legalization and how that's impacting sport. So CBD obviously becomes a part of that. We're talking about prescription drug abuse in sport. So both opioids and stimulants are separate sections. We have disordered eating, a disordered eating talk. We have Jessica Setnick coming to talk about that. We have also just cool things with our keynote speakers. We have Katie Sowers coming, who's the so I'm sure you guys know she's the second woman ever to get a full-time job in the NFL, which is pretty neat. Awesome. And so she's covering our topic on females and male-dominated sports and just kind of impacting, increasing female presence in that arena. We've got a ton of mental health topics. It's a really big topic, not just at the collegiate level, but throughout all levels of play. And so a number of things that touched upon that, performance anxiety, handling injury, at the after effects of that. So it's just going to be a neat conference. And really, I think, because it's new and people aren't sure what to expect and how it involves all of the different disciplines, it is an intimate conference. So it's not going to be, you know, a 400 plus people and an expo and all of that. It's really meant to be intimate, to interact directly with the speaker and as well as other attendees to get their take on these tough topics, you know, so that you can get perspective on how they're dealing with that at their organization and how the parties are working together. So if somebody doesn't have a sports dietitian, but they come to the conference, then they meet a sports dietitian and see how they're impacting athlete care at their organization, it might get them to start thinking about, hey, how do we get this programming going, right? Or some of the challenges. Maybe there's challenges between strength and conditioning and sports nutrition as an example. You know, you can start getting some perspective on how do we come together and work together to elevate the athlete's performance and the organization's performance at that as well through addressing these issues together. And how does your background and expertise complement my background and expertise? So it's going to be really great. Yeah. I'm excited that it's coming around again. We only do it every 2 years because we're a small staff and it's enough for me to manage. But it's cool. I'm the first year went really well. We had really great feedback just from the attendees because it's a unique event. You just you're not going to find it anywhere else, which is pretty cool.
Well, I love the aspect of the mental health, which I'm interested in, but the other topics that help me just be a better practitioner knowing about that information.
Well, and I always think it's usually the mental health that ends up pushing them to explore supplements is because they're in pain. I mean, I had one of my football players tell me the reason he smoked marijuana was for pain control at night and he didn't lose his appetite so then he could keep his weight up. Or they're overtraining. Or they're overtraining. Instead of getting the adequate rest, they think, well, what if I get something that's going to boost my energy? I mean, it's naturally going to come all together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll put some information out there have our listeners know a little bit more about the summit.
Before we leave, I have to backtrack just a little bit because I had another thought about supplement trends in women, but I don't think I gave enough emphasis on the thermogenic fat burners that get used. And I don't know if you guys see that at all in the clients that you serve, but I think it's the common thing of people looking for the quick fix, but it's also in a lot of these products that are geared towards athlete. And it might be a whole product line, you know, the marketing images that give the sleek, you know,
six packs.
They're just in their sports bras and, you know, wearing nothing. And they're like, you could look like this too, you know, that kind of stuff. But the really scary thing about those is, one, those are where you're going to find a lot of those new synthetic stimulants that, again, haven't been tested in humans, cause a lot of issues with other drugs they might be taking or past medical history that can interact with just their biochemical systems as well. So it's really something to pay attention to.
Right.
Or the other alternative is if it doesn't have the stimulants or kind of the scary stuff in it, it has nothing at all.
It wasted through.
It is. Either way.
And
that's always something to keep in mind as well. We're looking for something that's going to be, you know, the catch-all, the magic pill, you know, I don't have to change anything. I just need to take this product and then I'm going to get the body I want, you know, or the health
dust.
I want.
The pixie dust.
Right. Yeah. When the reality is so different, instead of spending the money on, you know, eating well, right, they're blowing money on this product that is likely not going to do anything except to make you your heart race and make you feel a little bit funny.
Yeah,
so cause some health issues in the long run. So I think that's something that we need to continue to educate young girls onto, and not just young girls, but also the women that influence young athletes as well, whether it's mothers or teachers or, you know, just whoever is it, coaches, whoever is influencing them in that scope, need to understand the risks involved and then what they can do, you know, as the alternative. And that's where sports nutrition comes in, which is so cool.
Somebody's always watching. There's always little eyes.
Yeah.
Well, at the end, we always wrap up our fit philosophy. And I know you have the summit, you have your job. We also know that your husband finally has started his brewery. Can you add that real quick at the end so we can let everybody in Kansas City know and support you?
Yeah.
If you're over 21. And
Yes, that's right.
Drinking responsibly.
And not an athlete during your season. We better not catch you in there.
No,
can you
no.
tell us about Casual Animal Brewery?
Yeah. So Casual Animal Brewing is our kind of family now business on the side of everything. And it's been a real process of just becoming an entrepreneur and learning about hiring a staff, and that's not related to my current job, and but also just the ins and outs of of actually brewing, which is pretty neat and very scientific. I think Becca, you guys, or you guys both,
yeah, too.
Yeah. So we gave you a behind the scenes. But my husband's been brewing for a while, and just once we got to Kansas City, really wanted to add to the brew culture that was kind of stirring up here and continues to do so. And the timing seemed right, and so we just kind of jumped in, which has been pretty neat.
And where can our Kansas Cityans find this?
Yeah, so we're over at 1725 McGee, right next to the Brick. And we're a small tap room, but open Tuesday through Sunday. So stop in. We've got games. We're about to launch a shuffleboard tournament that happens every Tuesday. So, yeah, check us out on social media to
get your flexion bag.
Yeah.
You got your butt, so now you got to get your shoulders
the upper body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that means you are super busy. So, yes. How do you, you know, live out the fit philosophy in terms of performance, health, intellect, and taking time for yourself?
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No. You know, I think like anything, it's a balance, and some days are better than others, but you kind of go back to your core. I've never been a creature of habit, so I don't really have things that I do every day. I really like change. I guess that's why things are always evolving in my life.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. But, you know, some things are non-negotiable. Good food is one. I'm sure that's probably why I got into nutrition way back when, you know, and how we fuel our bodies. My husband's been a good pupil in that, I guess, where he's really learned new things along the way, and the way that we eat and shop for food. But also, I think also exploring the ways that you can expand your mind a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of the research that you do in general for our jobs, I mean, I still read the paper. It's online now, but I mean,
finally somebody else, like nerd out on the Kansas City Star.
Yeah, you know, just different things to get you out of your career bubble, I think, is really important. I grew up overseas too, so I think having that global perspective has just kind of stuck with me. I want to know what's going on around the world, not just in the U.S. or locally, as important as that is. And then balancing that out, I mean, I have a novel by my bed. I read before I go to sleep every night just to kind of completely change course. So I really like that evolution, and maybe that's the part that I carry with me.
See, if it hadn't been for me scanning my Kansas City Star, I wouldn't have saw that the brewery made like the top 10 places to visit in Kansas City.
Oh, sweet.
Very nice.
They were featured in the Kansas City Star.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been getting good press. It's been really a good reception in Kansas City for sure.
We like drinking around here.
We'll welcome you.
Awesome. Everything in moderation. Yes, and if you're in season, don't show up.
That's right.
Laura, we really want to thank you for taking the time and coming into studio today. And we will be at the summit. We promise we'll behave. So thank you, Queens. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fit for a Queen. And
hashtag Fit for a Queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, Queens.